The artist that probably defined my childhood, Michael Jackson. He was the first full name that I could actually say, and I would like scream it, Michael Jackson, every time I saw him on TV.
For me, the album would be Boyz II Men's second album. I listened to that on repeat for years.
Well, I'd have to go with the Beatles because that was the sound of my childhood.
My album would be Little Feat because I used to listen to that with my dad when I was younger, and it brings back memories.
I don't know. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Depeche Mode, George Michael. It's a hard choice.
Welcome to Vinyl Decision, where the guests choose the music. And we're starting now.
Okay, my name's Mark Thomas, and you're listening to Vinyl Decision on ICRT. On the show, we set up the turntable in the studio, and we invite guests in. Some ordinary, some not so ordinary. And we ask them to choose one album, which is their vinyl decision, and we play the album and we discuss the album. Hopefully we get to play the whole album today. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Today's guest is Anthony Van Dyke. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm just about to get a lot better, I think. And what was your choice of albums?
My vinyl decision is AC/DC, Back in Black.
Okay. There's a big grin on your face when you say that. Why is that?
Because I had no idea what I was getting into when I bought the album.
So why did you buy the album? It had a pretty cover.
It was cool. There was a guy a year older than me who everybody knew was cool, and he said this was a cool album to get. I'd heard of AC/DC and I'd heard of Bon Scott, their previous lead singer, who had died just months before before the album was released. I think he choked on his own vomit after a night of heavy drinking.
In the back of a car in England, I think.
In true rock and roll style.
Classy.
Yeah. Well, to a 13-year-old boy, you're like, yeah, that's right on. So I bought the album just on the basis of that alone.
All that coolness rolled into one. And you made a fairly wise choice, I think, because it went on to be bought by quite a few other 13-year-olds, I believe.
It did.
Yeah, I think it's certainly in the top three of best-selling albums of all time, I believe.
I think you're right. Maybe Michael Jackson?
Only the King of Pop has outsold him, I believe. But whatever.
Fair play.
It's obviously a good-selling album. What we're going to do, we're going to get straight into the album now, and hopefully we'll get to talk more with Anthony about why he bought it and what it did to this 13-year-old in Canada.
We'll be right back.
Da-da-da. We got that in there. Good. Okay, so we're in the studio with Anthony. We're listening to Hell's Bells. No, we're not. We're listening to Back in Black by AC/DC. See how professional I am? It's ridiculous. How old were you when you got it, Anthony?
13. Summer of 1980. Fall of 1980, I guess. So I would have been 13 years old.
Okay. Okay. And you came from a musical family, yeah?
I did.
So we can talk about your dad now, see?
Absolutely, yeah.
He's not listening, don't worry. So did you play this album to your dad? Because I know he's a classical musician.
He is. He's a conductor. And he had put me through, you know, hours and hours, hundreds of hours of music lessons. So I was fairly well musically educated at the time.
Yeah.
But he wasn't interested in this stuff. It's usually major keys and 4/4 time, and it's just not interesting to him intellectually. So
that's fair enough. Yeah, but did you get the album as like a rebellious move? Is there anything of that in there?
No.
A 13-year-old, come on, man. There's got to be a tiny bit of that.
Maybe a tiny bit of rebellion, but mostly it was just self-expression and finding new ways to express things that I was feeling, thinking, whatever.
Okay, okay. And did you have it on vinyl?
I had it on vinyl originally, but I wanted to be able to take the music with me wherever I went. And this was before Sony Walkmans. So I recorded it on a cassette player, like a cassette deck.
Did you have to like hold the cassette player next to the speakers?
That's exactly what I did.
That's insane.
So, but I did position the speakers so that I thought, well, even though it was a mono recording, maybe somehow I would magically get a stereo effect. I don't think I did.
I don't know quite how that works, but maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But it was amazing the sound engineering work that all of us of that age kind of got into. I mean, we were
absolutely
all using microphones, setting up speakers,
equalizers. We all knew how to use them.
It was insane. Yeah. It's quite funny to look back and see that we were all amateur sound engineers going through that.
And nobody does that anymore. Kids today, kids today. How old am I? Let me tell you what the problem is with kids today.
That could be a long show. You should hear the questions I get from young people coming into the shop talking about records. We'll talk about that later over a beer. But we're going to carry on with the album. We're listening to AC/DC Back in Black on Vinyl Decision.
Are you women who want a man of the street?
Okay, we're listening to AC/DC Back in Black with Anthony Van Dyke. And Anthony, why are AC/DC so big? What? Because there's been loads of bands who have basically done that. And what made them bigger than anyone else?
I think they crossed genres where they could be heavy metal, absolutely. Mm. But they could also just be straight out rock and roll. And I think...
And radio worthy,
yeah. Right. They had a bit of a mystique about them because of their...
And they were Australian as well, which, right. which kind of... But, you know, I do believe that Bon Scott and the Young Brothers mm-hmm. still call themselves British. So, I, you know, anytime I meet Australians, I always have an argument and wind them up saying, actually, AC/DC is a British band. Along with the Bee Gees, of course.
Well, Bon Scott's replacement was British, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, Geordie. He was from Newcastle.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. And actually, I do believe that Glasgow is just erecting a statue for Bon Scott.
Only now.
Yeah, well, a bit slow up there sometimes.
They wanted to make sure that it was actually, you know, going to stick around for a bit.
Yeah, okay. No, no, good. Okay, it's, yeah, it's AC/DC, one of the biggest bands in the world, and it's Anthony Van Dyke's choice today on Vinyl Decision. Okay, you're listening to Vinyl Decision. My name's Mark Thomas, and in the studio today we've got Anthony Van Dyke. a little bit of a background, Anthony. So were you talking about where you're from and that, and you first started listening at the age of 13? Where would this have exactly been?
This was southwestern Ontario. I grew up about as white.
Is that in Canada?
Oh, right. Yeah, Ontario, okay, yeah. Canada. Not. I think there's an Ontario, California, but ours is bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up as white bread as you can possibly imagine in the suburbs. It was not very rough and tumble. It was pretty sheltered. It was a good way to grow up, I think.
So but the only way to be cool was to buy an AC/DC record.
That was the only way to get there. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think you're fairly cool. You've done it. Maybe AC/DC helped you on your way.
It was I was a work in progress. Yeah. But I remember after I had bought the album, and a few listens quickly convinced me that I was going to be listening to this a lot. I had a tree fort in those days, and I wanted to bring the music with me. So I recorded it old school, the way we all did, with a tape deck held, positioned in front of the speakers, and I recorded the whole album that way so that I could then bring the tape deck. This wasn't a boombox. It wasn't a ghetto blaster. No. It was just a tape deck. And that's how I recorded it, so I could play it in the treehouse that I had built in the woods.
Amazing. Okay, I want to hear five other albums that you took up to the treehouse. What, I mean, it can't have only been AC/DC.
No, it was also the Bee Gees.
I'm wanting to be in this treehouse already.
Well, there was a big argument, I remember, with the girls in my class who insisted that the Bee Gees were better than the Beatles because the Bee Gees had just redone Sgt. Pepper's.
They did. With Peter Frampton, it was, can I say, bloody awful?
It was. But it was covered in all the Tiger Beat magazines, and the girls were 50% of our homeroom population, and they were said, no, it's like, the Beatles suck, the Bee Gees are everything. And the guys were like, we're pretty sure the Beatles are still cooler than the Bee Gees.
I tell you, I have several copies of that album, and I couldn't give it away if I wanted to.
That's hilarious.
Next time you come around to VD, I'm going to give you one of those albums. It's pretty awful.
I was also listening to Led Zeppelin 2, which was, to be honest, I think it was above my pay grade. I didn't appreciate it until I was older. It was a little too hard rocking for me.
Okay.
And, man, what else was I listening to in those days? Bee Gees for sure. Boston, I think. That sounds about right.
Dear me, I'm just trying to find a way out the treehouse now.
I was a mainstream boy.
That's all right. That's good. I think it's easy to kind of get embarrassed about what you listen to when you're young, but everybody has to be introduced to music through certain ways. And, you know, you're never going to be cool all your life.
Dark Side of the Moon was that. Actually, I'll stand by that one because
it's one of my least favorite albums of all time. I really think it's one of the most overrated albums of all time. But I mean, but that's good. I mean, the beauty of music is that everybody has their taste and opinion, and no one is right or wrong. It's just, of course, I'm always right, but, you know, everybody does have an opinion, and it's great. I mean, I just don't like Dark Side of the Moon that much. I prefer the earlier Pink Floyd. But anyway, okay, we're digressing here. We're going to carry on listening to Back in Black by AC/DC.
Down to the devil, down, down, and out of the grave.
Okay, you're listening to Vinyl Decision with Anthony Van Dyke, and we're talking about AC/DC. Was it a lifelong love for AC/DC, or was it just this album?
No, for those about to rock, I bought that. I also bought the Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
My favorite album by them.
Really?
Oh, totally.
But yeah. I bought it entirely for because of one song, which I thought was pretty
Big
cool.
Big Balls.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought any like 14-year-old would probably be interested in that.
Some
one.
Balls are held for charity. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We
could. Dot. Dot. Dot.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's. I think it's a fantastic album. I think that that was. But you were. We were talking earlier. You said that that one came out after Back in Black, in
North America.
North America. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that, but I was looking at the chronology of all their records, and it came out 4 years or years before it actually was released in the U.S. Yeah. And Canada, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I remember having, or my best mate was into AC/DC a lot, and he had Dirty Deeds, but Back in Black wasn't even out then. Yeah, so we are listening to Back in Black, one of the biggest selling albums of all time, and we're just about getting through to the end of the first half of the album now. I'm actually a bit too much talking here, so we're going to carry on with the album. This is AC/DC on Vinyl Decision.
Cross side! give it all to you. To you.
Gotta love that fade out guitar solo there. Fading out with the guitar solo is very, very nice. One thing I wanted to quickly brush past you with this album while we're doing it is Bon Scott died very soon before this album was released. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think January, February, something like that. And this was released later in the summer, like 6 months later, I think.
So. Were they? They must have already written the album when he died. Then,
no. Well, maybe they'd written it. I don't know. But I knew that they had, they were grief-stricken and wanted to disband. But the surviving family of Bon Scott said, no, keep going. You've got a good thing. So right after the funeral, they started auditioning. And they chose Brian Johnson, right?
Yeah,
That's his name. And they thought he was different enough that there would be no question of him replacing Bon Scott, because they didn't want him to replace him. They just needed a new lead singer.
Okay, that's quite a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
How do you reckon it went with the in the studio? Because they must have gone into the studio straight away with this brand new singer, and also having lost Bon Scott, it must have been quite a, I don't know, it must have been a difficult time for the band.
Anticipation of today, I actually was reading about this. And they were nervous, they were jittery, because they didn't know the new guy, and he had awfully big shoes to fill. So he didn't quite know what he was, whether he'd be fitting in or not.
Yeah.
And then the weather was kind of apocalyptic also, because they were in Jamaica. So some of the lyrics that they stuck into here were a direct reflection of the weather that was going on.
Wow.
Thunder and lightning and sort of real wrath of God.
And the tumultuous, I suppose, the feeling within the band would have been reflected in that as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had, with the bell that was used in Hell's Bells, they were actually looking to around in their area for a bell, a church bell that would do the trick. They couldn't find one, so they actually cast a 2-ton bell and then brought that with them on tour wherever they went for years after that. That was their bell.
That's insane. I wonder how much that shipping cost for that bell over the years. That must have been a few quid.
It's an interesting order anyhow. Where do you get a bell made anyhow?
Yeah. Okay, superb. Okay, we're listening to Back in Black by AC/DC on Vinyl Decision.
Those are
And there you go. That's AC/DC. Shook Me All Night Long. Anthony, we're going out for dinner after the show. Going to meet up with your family. How do your kids, do you get your kids to listen to your music at all?
They listen to all kinds of music.
Is that forced, or do they get any choice at all?
It depends on my mood and how much I want to keep them quiet. But they get exposed to every kind of music.
Okay. So you're happy to play classical and AC/DC?
Yep.
And which do they prefer at the moment?
They have no comment about classical, but their tastes run. It's interesting with pop because they'll be into pop for a period, and then they get tired of it. And
well, that's what pop is about, isn't it? It's popular music. It's meant to be almost dived into and quickly jumped out of. So.
But it was interesting. My elder daughter, she went through a phase where she was into Ariana Grande. Mm. And I'm a good dad, so, you know, fine. If that's what she wants to listen, I'll play it. But the song was over, and the next thing up on the playlist was AC/DC. And my daughter said, yeah. She goes, actually, Dad, I'm kind of tired of Ariana Grande. I think I'm a rock and roll girl.
And that put a big beaming smile on your face.
I was so proud. It's like, come here, kid. Way to suck up to your old man.
Well, I mean, that's nice, isn't it? I mean, it's... And spontaneous and...
It was spontaneous, and it's nice to see people, well, you know, your kids, when they start to have personal choices that think, yeah, this is what I like, and that's great.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of music, is that you can pick and choose, and you can make your decisions. There are no direct lines you have to follow. So, yeah, it's nice. It's nice introducing the kids to it. I'm always asking my kids what kind of music it is. I like to ask them that. What kind of music is this? They're good with the jazz. They always get the jazz. They miss a few other things. It's nice. Anyway, we've been in the studio today with Anthony. We've been talking about AC/DC's Back in Black. And I think we're going to go out with the final track off the album, which is It's Turning Round and Round, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution.
Oh, that's a classic.
But I want to say thank you to Anthony for coming in today, and thank you for introducing us to and the taxi drivers of Taipei. You're introducing them to AC/DC.
Well, thanks for having me. And I mean, this is, everybody should hear this record, whether or not they like it. It's part of the Western canon. You have to understand it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like you say, it's one of the biggest selling albums of all time. So we've got to play it on Vinyl Decision today. So a huge thank you for that.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Hey there, all you middlemen! Coming up from that flow.
You've been listening to Vinyl Decision. Join us once again next week, same time, same place, for another rendezvous with another guest making their vinyl decision. You say goodbye.